All right, open your Bibles with me, please, to Nehemiah chapter 6, the book of Nehemiah, chapter 6. Nehemiah chapter 6. Before I begin reading in verse 1, let me give you a brief introduction to Nehemiah's book and the background of how it came to be written. Nehemiah was permitted by the Persian king Artaxerxes I to return to Jerusalem and rebuild the city wall. Though he was a Persian, King Artaxerxes believed in freedom of religion and allowed people to express their faith without state interference. Now, this was the grandson of King Darius and the son of King Xerxes, who had lost over 20,000 men fighting the 300 Spartans at the Battle of Thermopylae, and who had lost the naval battle of Salamis to the Athenians, who were led by Themistocles. Themistocles, along with Spartan King Leonidas, were no doubt the two men most responsible for the deliverance of Greece from the invading Persians. Leonidas was killed at Thermopylae, as were the rest of his 300 Spartans. And after defeating the Persians, Greek aristocrats turned against Themistocles, who was a common birth, and he was despised by the aristocracy, and he had to flee Greece for his life. This Persian king that allowed Nehemiah to go rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, Artaxerxes I, provided asylum to Themistocles and made him the governor of Magnesia, and he lived there the rest of his life and died of natural causes. Now, Roger Williams, the father of American Baptists and founder of Rhode Island, used the example of Artaxerxes I to demonstrate the separation of church and state, meaning the secular government should stay out of the affairs of the church. Now, that is a very brief history of how this book came into existence. I go into much more detail of that history in the third message of the DVD, Iron Women of the Bible. The third message is Remember Queen Vashti. And in that message, I give you a more complete history of all of that between the Persians and the Greeks, and King Leonidas and the 300 Spartans and Themistocles and Artaxerxes I. I go into all of that, and I show you how that event laid the cornerstone philosophy in the heart and the mind of Roger Williams, who became one of the most influential Christians in early America, the father of American Baptists, and the founder of the state of Rhode Island. The state of Rhode Island was specifically founded on the doctrine of religious liberty and the separation of church and state, meaning the state must stay out of the affairs of the church. This was the result of the events surrounding the book of Nehemiah and the war between the Greeks and the Persians, and the grandson of Darius. I mean, these two pagan kings, Darius and Xerxes, two of the most evil, wicked men to live bloodthirsty, tyrannical in every way. And the son and the grandson of those two men became a champion of religious liberty and actually was the one that put the idea and the philosophy of religious liberty into the heart and to the mind of many of America's founding fathers. I go into great detail in that message. If you don't have the Iron Women of the Bible, I really hope that you'll get that. And that third message is what I'm talking about, the one about Queen Vashti. We have that over here at our book table, and we also have it online if you look on our store. Now let's look at verse 1. Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilded the wall and there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates. Okay, let's look at these three men. Sanballat was a half Israelite from the tribe of Ephraim, Moabite governor of the Samaritans. Tobiah was an Ammonite servant of Sanballat, now elevated to a high cabinet position in Sanballat's administration. Geshem was a chief among the Arabians and was confederate with Sanballat and Tobiah. And notice Nehemiah, including Sanballat, who was an Israelite, says they were our enemies. Now, not everyone who disagrees with me on one issue, depending on the issue, of course, is my enemy. And not everyone who agrees with me on one issue is my friend. We will side with both true and false friends on specific issues important to the maintenance of liberty. But even though Sanballat had Israelite ancestry, and though he professed to be a friend of Israel, he was an enemy. And this was proven when Nehemiah attempted to fortify the wall of Jerusalem. Now, here is the point I want you to understand from all of that. If people truly love liberty, they will work to strengthen the walls protecting liberty. Let me say that again. If people truly love liberty, they will work to strengthen the walls protecting liberty. When someone consistently and deliberately works to weaken the walls protecting liberty, we can assume and know that he is no true friend of freedom, regardless of his pedigree or his profession. Sanballat certainly fits that category. For example, freedom of speech. Does he seek to protect it or inhibit it? Freedom of religion. Does he seek to protect it or inhibit it? Freedom of the right to keep and bear arms. Does he seek to protect it or inhibit it? Freedom to be secure in our persons, houses, and effects. Does he seek to protect or inhibit it? Freedom to work. Does he seek to protect or inhibit it? Freedom of privacy, especially medical privacy. Does he seek to protect or inhibit it? It doesn't matter what they say. They can say they love liberty, they can say they love freedom, but if they do not protect the walls that defend liberty, they are the enemies of freedom. Let me give an example. Dianne Feinstein, I know, Dianne Feinstein never raised a peep of protest against NSA snooping on Americans. In fact, she repeatedly supports legislation legalizing NSA snooping on Americans and publicly defends it. But a couple years ago, Feinstein got on the floor of the U.S. Senate and publicly chastised the NSA for snooping on her staff. Feinstein is an elitist who doesn't want to live by the same infringements she helps inflict upon the rest of us. And that's what all elitists do. They pass egregious, draconian, unconstitutional laws against our liberties, and then they themselves want to live above those prohibitions. That's what they all do. How many of these DC elite and entertainment elite and news elite, when they have their big mega parties and conventions, do not wear masks? While they require the average person in that community to wear masks, they themselves will meet in large assemblies inside and never wear a mask. They see themselves as above the laws that they want to inflict upon the rest of us, the mark of a true elitist. And that doesn't matter whether Republicans or Democrats. Verse 2. That Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. These men feigned friendship. They said they wanted to meet together with him and talk with him, etc. They were attempting to separate Nehemiah from his true friends and defenders. You see, Nehemiah was heavily guarded by trusted friends. They wanted to separate Nehemiah from his real friends who were defending him. Sanballat attempted to use the power and influence of his political office, remember he was the governor, to convince Nehemiah that he was his friend and that he didn't need his protectors. But Nehemiah said, but they thought to do me mischief. They thought to do me mischief. God gave Nehemiah the insight to see what they were up to, and he did not submit to it. Verse 3, and I sent messengers unto them, saying, and I love this verse, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? I am doing a great work, building the wall of Jerusalem. My friends, building walls around sacred things is a great work. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Building walls around sacred things is a great work. Verse 4, yet they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. Once, twice, thrice, four times, and every time he answered with the same response. Verses 5 through 7. Then sent Sanballat, his servant, unto me, in like manner the fifth time, with an open letter in his hand, wherein was written, it is reported among the heathen, and Gashmu saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king, according to these words. And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah, and now shall it be reported to the king, according to these words, Artaxerxes, come now therefore, and let us take counsel together. All right, so if you understand what they're saying, they were accusing Nehemiah of two things. They accused him of doing what he was doing for his own profit. You're trying to set yourself up as a king. You're hiring prophets to preach your name among the people. You're doing what you're doing for yourself And number two, they accused him of being unpatriotic against his king, Artaxerxes, and country. Now, that is so common. This second accusation was exactly the same accusation that the Pharisees made against Jesus. And they made the same accusation against Pilate if Pilate would not condemn Jesus. You are not patriotic. You are disloyal. That was the accusation they made. Years ago, there was a popular saying among economists, what is good for General Motors is good for the country. But the truth is, what is good for liberty is good for the country. Verses 8 and 9. Then I said unto them, saying, there are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. For they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, and it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Nehemiah denied their charges, accused them of lying, and pleaded with God for strength. Verse 10, afterward I came into the house of Shemaiah, the son of Delaiah, the son of Mehetabeel, who was shut up. And he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee, yea, in the night they will come to slay me. I mean, are you seeing all of these strategies that the enemy are using to try and discourage Nehemiah, to make him fearful, to distract him from his work, and to keep him from doing what God had commissioned him to do? This was another such attempt. Shemaiah was a priest. He was a man that Nehemiah trusted and had frequented his home on occasion. Nehemiah and this priest, Shemaiah, were friends. This was a man that Nehemiah respected and trusted. So the enemy, they start with outward attacks, but now they're using a friend close to Nehemiah to try and entice him to stop the work. The advice that he gave to Nehemiah was, they're going to kill you. If you don't listen to me, you're going to die. Come and let's go inside the temple and let's lock the doors, and that way they won't be able to come and get you. Now, anybody with any common sense knows that one of the most dangerous places you can be is locked up in a building all by yourself. I mean, he would have been a sitting duck. But the advice was, go to the temple, lock the doors, and maybe you won't be killed. He may have been a friend. He may have been a priest. But he became an enemy. It seems clear that most of our priests and our pastors today are modern day Shemaiahs. They are advising their people to retreat to the church. Oh, it doesn't really matter what's going on out there in the affairs of state. It doesn't really matter what's going on in Washington. It doesn't really matter what's going on in Helena. It doesn't really matter what's going on in the areas of government. God hasn't called us to be concerned with such things. You just come to the church, raise your hands, and give your tithes and offerings and sing, and God's in control, everything's okay. Isn't that what they're doing? That's exactly the message they're giving to the people. Retreat to the church. Leave the outside world alone. There's nothing you can do. It doesn't concern us. That's what Shemaiah was saying to Nehemiah. Why are you trying to rebuild the wall? What's that got to do with anything? They're trying to kill you. You need to be safe. Come into the temple and we'll be safe together. The work of God was outside the temple. The work of God was on the walls of the city protecting the temple and the freedom of the people to worship. Without a wall around the city, the temple was unprotected and would completely be destroyed. AD 70 proved that. You destroy the wall, you destroy the temple afterward. This is the church today. The church has stopped protecting the walls that defend the liberties that our founding fathers bequeathed to us with the sacrifice of their very own lives. And as a result, in 2021 America, there are more churches every year that are closing than are opening. This is the first time in American history that that has ever been the case. More churches are closing than are opening. The church is on a steep decline in this country. Well, of course it is. The church has left building the wall. They have stopped building the protective hedges of the freedoms that they have as Christian people. And as a result, the government is becoming more and more restrictive. The laws are becoming more and more draconian, and the persecutions against the church more and more heinous, and the love of the things of God by the people of God is diminishing as irrelevant in the minds of people. The church needs to get back on the walls. And verse 11 is kind of the key verse of this chapter to me. And I said, should such a man as I flee? Such a man as I flee to the temple. And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. Nehemiah answered, I will not flee. I will not run. I will not leave the risk that's on the wall. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, liberty is a risk. And if we are not willing to risk liberty, we will not keep liberty. Am I going to go to the temple to save my life? No, I'm going back to the wall, and I'm going to risk my life doing what I know is the right thing to do. I will not flee. Verse 12. And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him. He was a priest. He was a friend. I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Ah, there you go. Sanballat and Tobiah paid the priest to give this counsel to Nehemiah. Shemaiah had been bought off by Sanballat. Remember, he was the governor. He was a political leader. He spoke for the state. To stay in the good graces of Sanballat, Shemaiah urged Nehemiah to retreat to the temple. Shemaiah was not doing what he was doing out of love and concern for Nehemiah. He was doing it out of personal ambition and greed for the benefits of what the governor of the state, Sanballat, could do for him. I don't like saying what I'm about to say. It gives me no pleasure to say what I'm about to say. But the truth is, the vast majority of our so-called evangelical leaders, and I'm talking about these guys that you see on television. I'm talking about these guys at Hobnob in Washington, D.C. I'm talking about these guys that you see and hear them on the radio, and they have these big, vast conferences all over the country, supported by hundreds of thousands and millions of duped evangelical Christians. The vast majority of these evangelical leaders have been bought off by political elites or by the state of Israel or both. I promise you, they have been bought off. They are receiving graft from political elites. They are receiving unbelievable amounts of financial benefit from the state of Israel. Many of the jet airplanes that these men are flying around the world with are supplied to them by the state of Israel. I know that because I flew in one of them. At the time, I did not realize all that I realize now. At the time, I was as duped by Christian Zionist philosophy as many of your friends and loved ones are today. I didn't understand any of it. But I flew with one of the most prominent, powerful evangelical leaders in the country at that time. I spoke with him on conferences here in the United States and overseas. I flew with him in his jet. Later on, years later, I discovered that that jet was given to him by the state of Israel. You wonder why these evangelicals are so fanatical in their support for the state of Israel. I want to tell you, it goes far beyond theology. It's their own personal financial greed that is driving their support for the state of Israel. And I don't want to get too bogged down on this, but I do want to remind you that I have an interview that I gave with Rashad Leonce on a radio program a few weeks ago. The title of the program is "The Modern State of Israel Biblical and Should Christians Support It?" And I'm so impressed with the interviewer, Rashad Leonce, and the masterful job he did in interviewing me. He asked the perfect questions that needed to be asked. He gave me plenty of time to answer the questions fully, and it's a 44-minute interview. And so we got permission from Rashad to offer these CDs to our audience. And we do not charge you for the CD. They're absolutely free. The only thing we charge for is shipping and handling. They come in lots of 5 and 10. And we put them in that amount so that you can give them to your friends and loved ones. In my opinion, this is the best introduction you could give to anyone regarding the truth of the Bible regarding the nation of Israel. And if you'll get that, it's just really well done. And for people that really don't know the issue, they're ignorant about it, this will help to give them the introduction they need that hopefully will help them to pursue the truth afterward. But anyway, that's available over here. It's available online. My interview with Rashad Leonce is "The Modern State of Israel Biblical and Should Christians Support It?" I really hope that you'll get that. So I want to make sure that you know that that's available. But that's exactly what happened with that priest in Nehemiah's day. He was bought off by Sanballat. And these modern day prophets and preachers are being bought off by political elites and by the state of Israel. And they are not speaking for God. They are false prophets who are speaking for money and power that they get from prostrating themselves to the powers that they are being influenced by. You need to understand that. And if you don't understand that, you're going to be hoodwinked time and time again. Verse 13, "Therefore was he hired that I should be afraid and do so and sin, and that they might have matter for an evil report that they might reproach me." He was hired to intimidate me and cause me to sin. He was hired to make me afraid. Sin, retreating to the temple, sin, yes, to leave the building of the wall was sin for Nehemiah. God commissioned him to rebuild the walls of the city. For him to do anything else, including go to church, was a sin because he wasn't doing what God had called him to do. I want to say to you that probably, and only God can actually be the judge of this, but probably the greatest sins that are being committed by the church today are not the sins of commission, not what they're doing. It's the sins of omission and what they're not doing. A lot of people are doing good things. Well, what's wrong with going to the temple with the priest? Ordinarily, there would be nothing wrong with that. Ordinarily, that would be an act of righteousness. But in this case, in the life of Nehemiah, it would have been an act of cowardice. It would have been an act of fear. It would have been an act of disobedience. And I'm saying to you that the sins that are being committed, that are doing the greatest damage to our country and to our homes, our families, our lives today, are not the sins that we see, but to the sins that we don't see. It's the sins that are being omitted, the things that people are not doing that they ought to be doing. Pastors in churches today tell their congregations to stop sinning. Well, the ones that still talk about sin, the ones that follow that guy from Houston, what's his name? Joel Osteen. They don't talk about sin. But for the ones that still talk about sin, stop stealing, they say. It is sin. You're right, it is. Stop lying. It is sin. Stop gossiping. It is sin. Stop withholding your tithes and offerings from God. It is sin, etc., etc., etc. But what about stop leaving the wall? Stop leaving the wall. They never preach that. Just the opposite. They say it's a sin if you build the wall. They say if we go out there into the country and we try to build the walls that protect the freedoms upon which our country was founded, that we are not doing what God hasn't called us to do that. Yes, he has, you coward. If we're going to be a Nehemiah, we must stop listening to the advice of these lying priests and prophets. Verse 14. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these works, and of the prophetess Noadiah, and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. The prophets that would have put me in fear. Fear is a tool of the enemy to enslave us. Suicides escalated exponentially last year and this year, including among teenagers. This week, there is a particular focus on suicide prevention. God bless those folks. But wait a minute. Why do people not ask themselves, what is the connection? What is the cause that we would see so much suicide among our young people during the same period of time that the country is being inundated 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with COVID fear-mongering. Fear-mongering, fear-mongering, all day long, all week, all month, all year, year and a half, from every quarter. Shutdowns, lockdowns, people losing their jobs, people can't work without a vaccine, people can't work without a mask. You know, I've been pretty hard on these lazy bums who won't get out and find a job and go to work. It goes all through me when I see these panhandlers on the street corner asking for handouts when every establishment in town is begging for work. And they're having to cut back their hours because they don't have the manpower to staff the businesses to be able to serve the customers. People are losing their industries and their court and their jobs and their companies because of these egregious mandates, etc., upon them. And then you got somebody out here who's begging on a street corner for a penny. And if you follow them home or if you follow them to the car, my wife did that one time. One of these jerks was, I'm trying to be nice, one of these jerks on the street corner, you know, looked like a bum and all that kind of stuff. And people, you know, giving him money stupidly, gullibly. And then the guy happened to leave the corner just as my wife was driving up and saw him. And so she thought, you know, I'm gonna follow this guy. So she did. She followed him. He walked about 3 or 4 blocks, and he got in a brand new Lexus. Who was it that said a sucker is born every minute? I've been pretty hard on people that will stay home and suck off the government teat and refuse to go out and get a job. I think it is disgusting and despicable. One of the most important ethics, not just for Christians, but for freedom-loving people everywhere, is the work ethic. When we lose an honest work ethic, we're toast as a country. I mean, everything else being equal, when you lose the work ethic as a society, you're toast. And we've pretty much done that. We've lost the work ethic. More people are staying home than not going. I've been pretty hard on people like that, and I think justifiably. However, there is another side to it. These companies that willingly go along with the mask mandates and the vaccine mandates and require their employees to submit to these satanic antichrist tyrannical acts against them, and as a condition of employment, hey, anybody with conscience and conviction would refuse to work for such an employer. So the truth is, some of these companies have themselves to blame as much as anything else for the condition they've allowed their company to go into. So I think we have to be fair about that. But fear is a tool of the enemy to enslave us. And that was what Shemaiah tried against Nehemiah. He tried to make him afraid. They're going to kill you. You're going to die if you don't come with me in the temple. Suicides have escalated exponentially, especially among young people. But our young people are being fed an omnipresent diet of fear of a flu virus, lockdowns, closures, mandates, a virus with a survival rate of over 99%. We ought to be saying to the young people, at the very worst, you have a 1% or less chance of dying from this virus. And as a young person, your chance is actually almost 100%. It is absolutely criminal the way we have allowed fear to manipulate the hearts and minds of children. And these little boys and girls in elementary school being required to wear masks. Ladies and gentlemen, I say it with all of the kindness and love I know how. It is criminal. It is criminal. We're teaching our boys and girls from the time they are little to be afraid. They're growing up with a spirit and a condition of fear deep in their hearts. Well, people that are afraid are enslaved. And the people that are tyrants know this. And they want to enslave a generation of Americans by making them afraid from the time they are little. You remember Franklin Delano Roosevelt's words to the World War II generation? I am not holding FDR up as a model for the presidency by any stretch. He makes my list of the top five worst presidents in U.S. history. But to the World War II generation, FDR said, and I quote, "We have nothing to fear but fear itself." This is a socialist liberal Democrat. We have nothing to fear but fear itself. The most famous speech that he gave is called his Four Freedoms speech. And the four freedoms that he talked about in that speech were, number one, freedom of speech and expression. Tell that to Mark Zuckerberg. Number two, freedom of every person to worship God in his own way. Number three, freedom from want. And number four, freedom from fear. Freedom from fear. Today, so-called conservative Republicans are regurgitating the spirit of fear constantly. I mean, when you listen to the words, some of the old-time Democrats sound more like conservatives, and the modern conservatives sound like Democrats. When you hear them talk, it seems that the liberalism of yesterday and the things that we condemned in the Liberal Party of the Democrats yesterday, we now embrace in the conservative party of the Republicans. Ladies and gentlemen, political parties mean nothing. Truth is truth. Liberals and conservative, Democrat and Republican mean nothing. Look past the title. Look past the label and listen to what they're saying. If they are preaching fear and paranoia, if they are preaching socialism and all the things that we know are evil, ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't matter what their party affiliation is. Before I close, I brought a series of messages. It's the state, slavery, and the sovereignty of God. Message three, slaves of fear no more. I don't know how to say it, but if somehow the church doesn't awaken to the sinfulness of fear and stop being afraid of their own shadow, afraid to walk out of the house, afraid to go to the store, afraid to get in the car, if they don't get over this spirit of fear, which is not of God, and become the bold, courageous champions for truth that we are supposed to be, this country is toast. And it's not the fault of the liberals. It's not the fault of the socialists and the progressives. It's not the fault of the Democrats. It's the fault of the church for not being the salt and light in this country that God would have us to be. Stop being afraid. Stop being afraid. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. What's wrong with us? The state, slavery, and the sovereignty of God. If one message alone is worth the whole bunch, and there's five on here. Slaves of fear no more. It's over here. It's at the store online. I hope you'll get it. Verse 15, so the wall was finished in the 20 and 5th day of the month, Elul, in 52 days. The wall was finished. Everything that Sanballat orchestrated, everything the enemies of Nehemiah tried to do from without, the accusations, the lies, the attempted fear-mongering, none of it worked. The wall was finished in 52 days. Verse 16, and it came to pass that when all of our enemies heard, I really like this verse, this is my last verse, and it came to pass that when all of our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. Our enemies were much cast down after Nehemiah finished the wall. I can promise you, our enemies are also much cast down as they see us and millions like us resisting their tyranny and continuing to build the walls protecting freedom. They can't believe it. They really thought by now they would have us in total subjection. They really felt by now that they would have that vaccine pass universally accepted and embraced. They thought by now that they would have had the entire country trodden under their feet. They really did believe that by this time they would have hoisted their flag of victory. Instead, just the opposite has happened. They have met a brick wall and the resistance is growing. Do you know? Don't believe what you hear on the media. I'm telling you, they are lying to you. All of them, including Fox News, are lying to you. There is a sizable, some estimates say at least 30, some are saying as much as 40% of our U.S. military forces, including our SEAL teams, are refusing to accept the COVID vaccinations. It has gotten so bad that the military commanders are now having to redeploy and reassign troop divisions and teams because they don't have enough manpower to do what normally would be done because of the resistance that's taking place among the military to this tyranny. No, I'm telling you, all over the United States, people are rising up for freedom and liberty, and they're refusing to bow the knee to Baal. And I'm telling you that the people in Nehemiah's day who were much cast down because of Nehemiah, they are much cast down because of Liberty Fellowship and many members of our military and people throughout these United States and around the world. Have you seen the video coming out of Italy? Have you seen the video coming out of Germany? Have you seen the video coming out of France? Have you seen the video coming out of England? People by the millions protesting in the streets, shutting down highways, shutting down commercial activity in their locations in protest of the tyranny in their countries for freedom. Did you see what happened in New York this week when a group of hundreds of New Yorkers walked into a vaccine-only establishment and sat down and everybody served them as they would as normal. They all ate their meal, and they were chanting, USA, 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 and they defied the governor's laws, and they did so in mass, and nobody tried to stop them. Not the law enforcement, not the businesses, nobody tried to stop them. New York City, this week. I'm telling you that what we are seeing, I believe, is a separating of the wheat from the chaff, and the sheep from the goats, the real from the phony. And the phony are buckling under like the wimps that they are. But the true men and women of God of this country and the freedom lovers of this country have made up their minds that they are not going to be afraid, that they are not going to kowtow, they are not going to surrender, they are going to stand. So I say to Liberty Fellowship, let's give our enemies something really to be discouraged about. May each of us shout with Nehemiah, I will not flee. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Before I pray, anybody in this room, anybody watching online, who's never yet trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, oh, dear soul, He loved you so much. He died for you on the cross of Calvary in the most heinous manner possible. He was buried. He took your sins upon Himself. He rose from the dead. He sits at the right hand of the Father. He extends grace, mercy, and love to you. And if you will embrace Him as your Savior and Lord by faith, if you will trust Him, Him alone, not your baptism, not your church membership, not your good works, not keeping the law, Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross for you, if you will trust Him and Him alone, He will save you. He will cleanse you. He will forgive you of your sin. He will give you that precious Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you. Lead you in truth, give you the spirit of love and power and sound-mindedness that we talked about. If you don't know Christ as Savior, oh dear friend, trust Him today. I guarantee you there's a lot of people in eternity right now that wished they had trusted Jesus as Savior. I've never met one person ever in my entire life that ever regretted trusting Jesus as their Savior. Not one. I beg you in Jesus' name, put your faith and trust in Him.